With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
It's episode 35 of Eurobash, and it's Peter Carroll this week all by himself. As you know, Noel is away on holidays at the moment. He wasn't present for all of the festivities of Bellator Dublin this week, and unfortunately he won't be able to record Eurobash this week, despite the multiple and several and numerous selfies we've seen from his holiday in Mallorca. Apparently the internet is not good enough to record the episode, so fair enough. He will be editing, so he's not completely off scot-free. Obviously a huge weekend for European MMA with UFC Copenhagen, Bellator Dublin, Bellator 227, same thing. Bellator 228 even brought us some big European news with Massassi on the card, and Saul Rogers unfortunately dipping out of the featherweight tournament there. But also significantly, we had matchups made for the rest of that tournament involving European fighters, which we will talk about in the news section. Yeah, it was a really cool week in for the Bellator fights. It seemed to be really big here, you know, in Ireland. It felt quite big. You know, it had to be a sellout, if not very, 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 very near a sellout. The atmosphere again was electric. You know, I feel as though you look at the Copenhagen card and it had way more competitive fights, way more big names versus big names. You know. The main card was really, really good in that Copenhagen card. But I feel as though any card with James Gallagher and MVP is going to be hard to compete with in terms of interest in this continent. And, you know, I think the fact that I was there, the fact that Junkie were there, that really speaks to how much importance is put on these events in terms of the global media. And, of course, it was great to see the pod god himself, Shawnee Podcasts, Sean Sheehan. I know him as, but great to see him. Great to see Pat, his brother. Andy Stevenson on his first event for Severe MMA. Great to see him, a young upstart in this profession. Great to see Abby and Simon from Junkie as well. Two great lads. I've been on the road with them for a long, long time, and I spent a lot of the week with them. And Gareth A. Davies, the man himself. I mean, all of the media members it was great to see. And Jake, of course, from Fight Talk. I think he has the best accent in MMA journalism. That Geordie accent is fantastic, the way they speak. He was trying to teach me some of that. Like, I mean, I spend a lot of time trying to teach Ariel Helwani and Sean Al-Shadi how to speak Irish, you know. Irish idioms, like what's the crack, Jesus, all this kind of stuff. But the Geordie stuff is way better. It was canny good to see you, Jake. So very good to be there this weekend. Without anyone to bounce things off, it's probably going to be a shorter episode this week. I'm, of course, taking off for Melbourne tomorrow. So we basically have to get through this quite quickly. And as well as that, really, I mean, it was just so much MMA this weekend that was very difficult to kind of keep eyes on everything, especially when I was working one event. So, let's take a look at the latest news first, and we'll have a bit, chat about a few other things later. So, the news. Jack Marshman v. Marcus Perez is going to go down in UFC Sao Paulo. It's a good fight for the Welshman there. After a good weekend for the Welsh, it would have to be said, in Copenhagen with Jack Shore with that stunning debut, and John Phillips with a signature John Phillips moment. Soren Bakvi, Terry Brazier is going to go down in London on November 23rd. Quite a shock that Soren signed a deal with Bellator, really. Everybody really thought he was on the verge of signing for the UFC. He certainly seems to have said to a few media members at the media day that the UFC did offer him something, but he would have rather went with Bellator. So that's very interesting in itself, that Bellator now have the pulling power to take these, you know, blue chip prospects away from the UFC. They had already signed a lot of blue chip prospects, but we never really knew for sure if these guys were on the radar of the UFC or not. So I think that's quite significant. Excuse me. Also going down that card, Fabian Edwards v. Mike Shipman. It's a bit late for me, I'll be honest. I think they should have made Fabian and Shipman when they were both unbeaten. A certain amount of intrigue has left this contest because of Shipman's knockout at the hands of Anstinas, and that's not Shipman's fault. It's not Fabian's fault. It's Bellator's fault. They should have made it earlier. That was a huge fight. It's still a huge fight, but I just feel it's a bit too late. It kind of felt like both guys were putting it all on the line against each other when it was an unbeaten Shipman against an unbeaten Edwards. But now it feels like Shipman has everything to gain because his O is gone. He's lost by knockout in his last fight, and then he's coming up against the uber prospect on Bellator's record, I guess. Bellator's books, even. Very interesting things happened at Bellator 228 over the weekend as well. And the most interesting for my money is the fact that Patricio Pitbull was given the champ's choice. I saw Mark Raimondi tweeting about this, and I contacted him. Apparently, Patricio Pitbull was given a choice as to what date he would fight at and who he would compete against in the next round. And he's chose the SBG's Pedro Carvalho, who has been saying since the start that he would want to fight Patricio. If he was given a choice in the first round, it would have been Pitbull. I think that's a really, really good fight. And I mean, why not? Pedro did a great job at the press conference I saw him at as well. So, I think it makes sense. Adam Borich will take on Darian Caldwell. That's another, you know, I feel like that's the worst matchup you could probably give Borich because, look how well Pico did against him until that flying knee connected. The wrestling is a bit of an Achilles heel for him. If he gets through Darian Caldwell, I think he has a great chance to go on the whole way, to be honest. It's a tough, tough matchup for him, but I really believe he can get it done. Also, for Bellator, Vitaly Menikov and Javier Ayala has been rebooked for Bellator 232. That, of course, was meant to happen earlier in the year, but it fell apart the day before the fight was set to happen. And Paddy the Baddy will be making his return in November on that London card. I've already seen Joe McColgan throwing an oar in to get that fight, so that should be very interesting. I think Cage Warriors like having Paddy around is always good for them, and like even with that announcement you can see the intrigue that's in it immediately. You have all these guys calling his name. Like he really is a guy that adds a lot to that promotion, and with Jack now in the UFC and, you know, doing so well as we saw in Copenhagen, it's great for them to have Paddy back. Let's be honest, it's really, really good. But yeah, that's all the news we have. And a talking point I felt that we should probably bring up, Conor McGregor showed up at that Bellator show, and so much talk of him apparently fighting, well, John Kavanagh did an interview with the MacLife, my good friend Oscar Willis, last weekend, and he said Frankie Edgar would be the man that he would want Conor to face. It's interesting because, like, John has always said, like, Nate Diaz, even Roddy, it seemed like they were always on the Nate Diaz thing, and now it's suddenly gone to Frankie, but apparently that is a fight that is of interest to McGregor. I've heard that a lot. You know, he even said in that interview with Ariel Helwani that someone like Edgar would be the perfect preparation for Khabib. I don't know if I agree with that, but I also don't think that, you know, it's the best idea in the world for Conor to come back against one of the guys at the very top of the food chain at lightweight. So, you know, a warm-up fight, so to speak. Like, Frankie had already said he was going down to 135. I assume this fight would probably happen at lightweight. So if Frankie was saying he was going down to 135, I can see the fans kind of getting a Conor's back, but it probably is what he needs at the moment. It probably does need a tune-up fight. And it's a fight that, you know, you would kind of have to favour him in, just in terms of his size, in terms of his stopping power against Edgar, who was, you know, we saw him being stopped against Ortega and stuff like that. I mean, I think I'd definitely favour McGregor in that, but I saw him in Dublin on Friday. I didn't get to speak with him or anything. He was just kind of around the backstage area with his entourage. But yeah, he seems in good shape. I mean, I couldn't really judge. He's wearing a suit, but looks in good shape, I guess. So be interesting to see. I feel like that is the way it's going, though. It's going towards Frankie Edgar for sure. Right, well, look, we'll talk about the cards more in depth in the next section of the show, but I got a word with Fabian Edwards, who of course was we spoke about it earlier, is going to fight Mike Shipman now in November, November 23rd. So we got a word about him, about that, and about his brother Leon's situation, of course. The news of Colby and Usman had not broken by the time we did this interview. It was on Friday night. But the talk was around. I mean, he does cite that. But yeah, let's have a word with Fabian, and we'll be back in about 5 minutes.
We are backstage at Bellator Dublin, and I am joined by the one and only Fabian Edwards, and he just had that fight we've all been waiting for with Mike Shipman, finally announced. Now, you had a really intense face-off, man, and you were clearly saying something to him like, you finally did it.
Yeah.
Did you ever think this fight was going to happen? You said for a long time that he didn't want it.
I never thought this fight was going to happen. It was meant to happen 2 years ago. He never stepped up then. So I was surprised, coming off a loss as well, a knockout loss, that he stepped up to the plate, you know what I mean? So, fair play for him stepping up, but he's going to get finished again.
What did you notice about him when you faced off there? Like, I mean, I heard you saying something like, I'm going to ruin your face or something to that effect. What did you notice from that face off?
I didn't take much from that face off, you know what I mean? I was looking him in his eyes and just eyeing him up, you know what I mean? I think we're the same height. I got a longer reach on him and everything like that. So, I'm looking forward to this.
Is this in London, right? Like, you wanted to fight him in Birmingham. That was always a thing. Is it just something you had to concede in the end? Like, I'm just going to have to do it this way?
Yeah, I had to just do it. That's the only way, you know what I mean? They came with a fight for London card, so I thought, fuck it. Co-main event in London, I can't complain. It would have been perfect if it was in Birmingham at the main event. I think that could have done a decent bit of numbers, but London, that's still okay, you know what I mean? I'm happy with that.
Is there any part of you that's kind of disappointed because we've already seen Van Steenis knock him out? That kind of took a bit of the mystery away from it. Like, I'm sure you wanted to be the first guy who did that to him.
It did, but what I'm going to do, that's still going to be a surprise, you know what I mean? Because Van Steenis, he only TKO'd him. I'm looking for, like, toes curling. I'm looking for that. So that's still going to be different. That's still going to be something somebody ain't seen before.
One of the problems I can anticipate you having, right, we know that you're elite. We have this feeling that you're going to be going to do huge things in this game. But I feel like it's going to be a problem to get some of the bigger names in this middleweight division to fight you, the Massassis of the world, the Lovatos, because they're going to think they're going to be sacrificing so much to go up against this young gun. Can you anticipate that being a problem further down the line?
I think it does, especially if Bellator try to push me a bit too fast. They might be like, this guy's only, what, 9-0 after a smoke shipment. So they might not want to fight me, so I might just carry on fighting whoever I can fight. I ain't going to lie, tonight I was hoping for Will to fight, because that would have been another question I could have put to bed, but he got beat by the better man tonight, and yeah, that's it.
Was that ever close to happening, the Will fight? Because online, that went crazy. Will genuinely wanted it, though, right? He was trying.
So he wanted it, but by the same time, I told him his daddy, Jonathan, had to say yes, and his daddy said hell no, because watching that fight back, I would have KO'd him stiff. You know what I mean? He got caught with loads of sloppy shots. His defense is awful. Now, he's a tough kid. Everyone's suggesting he's a tough kid, but his defense and his offense is awful, you know what I mean?
Do you feel as though that's a problem with SBG guys in general? Some people do say that John is kind of stopping certain fights from being made.
Yeah, of course. I understand. He's trying to baby everyone. He's trying to look after them, you know what I mean? Like, he tried to look after Will, but it never happened tonight. If he played it smart by taking a guy that's 3-0, but he still never played it smart. So it don't matter how much trying to baby them. There's still some decent guys out there that'll beat them, you know?
Final question, and thanks so much for giving me your time. Your brother is having a bit of a nightmare getting himself that fight at the moment. There's so much talk about potentially Kamaru Usman and him now after the Colby dropout. Is this something that is really frustrating for you? You spoke about how elite your brother is on many, many occasions. Does this annoy you probably as much as it annoys him?
It does annoy me. It's shitty how Diaz came back after 3 years and now he's fighting the number three guy. You know what I mean? And now that's left my brother in a space of who to fight. There's no point taking a guy that's number 7 or number 8, because he's number 4 now, you know what I mean? He's done a lot of hard work to get there, so it's frustrating for the team that he's not getting the fights that he wants, but just have to play the waiting game and see what goes on.
Are you like, I heard Leon speaking to Ariel Helwani earlier this week, and he was like confident that they would make the Usman fight. Are you feeling good about that as well?
I was until I seen this morning fucking the Colby. He's close to being finalized. I thought, what the fuck? You're never sure with the UFC, you know what I mean? You're never sure. 1 minute say yes, next minute they make a next deal. So until he's signed on the dotted line, I won't be confident in it.
Is there anyone you'd like to see him fight other than Usman? I know Woodley was kind of floating around there. Is there any matchups you'd like from?
Nah. If he's not Masvidal, if he wins Diaz, if it's not Woodley, if it's not the champion, there's no one else. There's no point fighting for the sake of fighting. You know what I mean? He's on an eight fight winning streak now. Just beat a former champion, so there's no point in fighting for the sake of fighting. You know what I mean? He's got money. He don't need to fight. He don't need to like rush and fight just anyone. So we've all told him to play the waiting game. You know what I mean? Keep developing his skills and see what takes place.
And we are back. What a pleasure it was to speak to Mr. Fabian Edwards. Great seeing him there, looking fresh, looking very keen to get that fight with Shipman done. You could even tell with the face off those two had there. Definitely don't like each other. Very, very intriguing one. I hope they both do a lot of media. I know Fabian will. I don't see Mike really that present in the media circles. We've tried to have him on a couple of times. It'd be great to have him on if he come on. I feel like the two of those, they have a lot of beef there. There's a lot of animosity, and that's always a big seller for us filthy MMA people, let's be honest. Let's take a look at that Copenhagen card. Unfortunately, the risk did not pay off for Jack Hermansson. Jared Cannonier, a very dangerous opponent, as we all know. He finished him in the first 30 seconds of the second round. Hermansson really risked everything there to put himself across as this next front runner for Scandinavian sport. And he probably didn't need to risk that situation. He just felt that it was a good move for his career, and I can completely understand that. But Cannonier is just so solid, man. He's so powerful, and it was evident how hard he hits when you see Hermansson. That happened to Hermansson in the second round like that. And I really feel like Hermansson's in the best moment of his career at this time. So very, very difficult one, has to be said. Marco Madsen, wow. He absolutely blitzkrieged Danilo Belluardo. It was devastating. 9-0. Didn't really say a lot there in the post-fight interview. Has to be said, he didn't set the world on fire with his sentiments afterwards. But amazing, amazing athlete, obviously. Absolutely incredible. And the atmosphere just looked incredible in Copenhagen in general. That we can talk about with that more when we speak about Dalby in a few seconds, but Jesus Christ. Gunnar Nelson didn't pay off for him either, taking that short notice opponent. Burns at that heavier weight class is going to be a real problem. He's going to be a real, real problem. The decision, it was never really in doubt, really, when it went, after the three rounds, I didn't feel like Gunnar was going to win it. It's unfortunate, but that's the way the cookie crumbles. You know, and you have to, and this will be a subject that's brought up an awful lot during these look back through the fights. Like these guys, when you take on a short nose opponent, you're flipping out everything. You're changing everything. Like Gunnar was preparing for a striker, and next of all, he's preparing for a guy who's more decorated in jiu-jitsu than he is. So very, very difficult situation. Cootie Laba with a huge win over Khalil Rountree. Rountree obviously really, really focusing on the Muay Thai aspect. But didn't really pay off against a guy like Cootie Laba, who's just devastating in top position there. OSP is back. Oleg Shesho couldn't get it done against him, although he was hitting him with some of his best shots. Another Von Flew choke. A Von Peru choke, let's be honest. I know it's the most overused tweet in the world yesterday, but it's a Von Peru choke. Come on, lads. There's no one else. Dalby's entrance was absolutely unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. His fiance, I believe it was, singing the song, the Danish national anthem. It was emotional. It was a real moment. And there was a few moments in that fight, I suppose. I actually missed the initial stand-up on Oliveira, but from what I hear, it had massive ramifications on the fight. I did see the second one, and I just tweeted about the second one because I thought that was it. And people were like, what are you talking about? What about the other one? So I was like, oh, shit. Better delete that. Well, yoink. Deleted that shit. Yeah. I mean, Dalby, what a story, though, you know. Although that situation obviously happened during the fight. Amazing to see him back there winning. In such a tremendous way. And it seems as Alex Oliveira is still on the run at the moment, which is insane. I saw a few people tweeting about this. He's a wanted man. Oliveira. Oh, MMA. I love it so much. Yeah, I saw a few articles popping up online about this. Apparently, yeah, he's wanted in connection to on the run after hitting his wife, according to one article I have here. Allegedly. he was expected to turn himself in to the police back in May. So, yeah, interesting. Interesting. Very, very interesting. What a weird sport, man. Allegedly, of course, all of that, guys. So let's not get carried away with ourselves. John Phillips, what a return to form. Amazing. That is the guy that we were talking about. That is the guy we were so pumped up about. And great to see that smile on his face. He's one of the best personalities in European MMA. A fantastic story. You know, a lot of a big deal was made of it ahead of his debut about, you know, his life up until that point. It's just been incredible and great to see him being the guy we all thought he would be and finishing Alan Amadovsky in just 14 seconds, I believe. Crazy. Other notables, the Austrian Wonder Boy, brilliant performance against Sierra Bahrazada. I thought he was brilliant. Chikadze, what about that one? The split decision that was suddenly turned around. Mad shit. I think everybody was drawing a collective sigh of relief when the score came back with him winning. The initial scorecards didn't make a lot of sense. Crazy that they can mess it up at such high-level MMA. But again, like, I mean, same could be said with the refereeing in the Dalby fight. Very poor to see it at this day and age, to be honest. Crazy. Lena Landsberg, huge win. That's two huge wins back-to-back. Mark Diakese looked inspired against Vanada. And Jack Shore, what can I say? Amazing. He looked brilliant. It looked like another Cage Warriors title defense to me. Excellent, excellent stuff. On to Bellator 227. Obviously, James Galler with that, you know, 30-second guillotine in the first round. Again, everybody, oh, Roman Salazar's a can. I'd say it's the second hardest fight of his career, Gallagher's, you know. So, you know, takes it on a week's notice. People are telling me that, oh, the Salazar has no ground game and stuff. Like, James is very good on the ground. Like, he's exceptional. It's been known since he was a young teenager how good he was. Like, I mean, I get it if you don't like him, but, you know, decompartmentalize that in your head. This is about you not liking him. It's not about him being bad at jiu-jitsu. He's incredible at jiu-jitsu. And to shoulder that situation in Ireland, the change of opponent, sold out arena. Come on. What were you doing when you were 22? Like, I mean, geez, I wouldn't have been able to do it, I'll tell you that much. And I'm a pretty miraculous person in my own right. Michael Venom Page and Richard Coyle are apparently going to be fined, according to Mike Mazzulli. Steve Morocco had an article there out on MMA Fighting yesterday about this. Coyle for flipping the board and Michael Page for taking selfies during that ground and pound, I'd imagine. Big comments from Page afterwards that Dan Mergliotta allegedly called him a piece of shit. Wow. Like, I mean, yeah, he's, again, similar situation to James. Like, yeah, say what you want. Like, you know, like, if you don't like him, you don't like him. That's fine. But to think that's okay for a referee to say that, if he did say it, if that happened, that's disgraceful. You have to be professional. All of us have to be professional. You can't do that. Peter Queeley was absolutely phenomenal. My God. Against Ryan Scope. He hits the deck himself before he gets up and finishes him after that amazing entrance to the Cranberries zombie. Just unbelievable. That was a huge moment. That felt like the place was going to explode. I really did. It was amazing. Best win of his career, I'd say. And to be honest, you know, I feel like Peter is a great professional, and you know, you can see that, like, he has foresight. He comes into these the press situations after the fight, after the biggest win of his career, and he's calling the shot. He knows what he wants next. He understands the layout. I always think that's a great sign of a pro. When they know what they want next, they're basically calling it. You know, I guess someone in Gallagher's situation doesn't really need it. He's going to be a headliner there. If they've had two successful sold-out shows there, he's going to be the headliner. But Queeley has great foresight. Like, he comes in, he says, look, I want Bungard first to settle the personal score, because everyone else at lightweight is kind of sewn up until next year. So I thought that was brilliant. I love when people have a shot to call. Same with Brian Moore. Came backstage, 2-minute interview, got everything out. I want Ricky Bandeyas. Gone. Brilliant. What's not to like? I love it. Ben Henderson was very good. It was great to see such a high-level fighter in Ireland. Brilliant, brilliant fight. You know, he seemed to be putting a lot of mustard on his shots as well to put Jury away. It's just Jury was kind of waiting there, waiting to counter-strike. And I felt Henderson was throwing everything at him, you know. I really did. I felt like he was throwing the kitchen sink at him. And the Irish fans, glad to see them giving him the ovation he deserves, because it was a bit embarrassing last time when King Mo and Ishii were in there and half the arena left. So it was good. It was good to see that. Kiefer Crosby, a bit of work on his hands against another short notice replacing Hugen Pereira. It wasn't as easy as people thought it would be. Kiefer telling us he's ready for the champion after the fight with Pereira. Did not like me asking him about Miles Price, which still would be a huge fight for Ireland. And to be honest, his reaction to that question would probably make more people want to see it than anything else. So maybe that was his plan. The fighters do the old double bluffaroony the odd time, so who knows. Will Fleury is a man who certainly didn't lose any stock in his loss to Navigny. He looks brilliant. 4-0 only, but just brilliant. Looks really, really good. But Fleury is a savage. There's some losses you take that, you know, like same with Scope and Queeley. And Queeley was the first to point that out after that fight. Like, Scope and Fleury haven't damaged their stock at all here. Two animals, man. He's a savage. And the crowd were absolutely involved in that one. They were eating out of the palm of his hand, him and Navigny. Very, very good fight. Liam McCourt, a more concise way, very methodical. Great win for her. I think you can see that Bellator have big plans for Leah with the place they've given her on that card. So early on in her career. Franz Malambo and Dominic Wooding was a fantastic fight. Delivered. Malambo's a beast, man. He's so chilled out. And Wooding as well, just two incredible fighters. And speaking to Franz, great to see him doing so well now. Two big scalps he's taken out there, man. Two very big scalps. Like Grayson, a former Cage Warriors champion. Dominic Wooding, a guy I think is brilliant. I think he's actually brilliant. You know, fantastic. Richie Smullen, that's more like what we expect from Smullen as well. Sean Tobin's no joke. And Richie to do that to him so quickly, really, really, really solid stuff. Ryan Roddy getting back to winning ways after a long time away from the sport against a tough opponent in Patrick Poitila. Elias Bulliad, devastating knockout of Vitalik Moibarada. Moibarada debuting pro, Bulliad, you know, 100-odd kickboxing fights. I think most people saw it going that way. Interesting that this fight could go ahead because we saw that with the Taekwondo athlete, the female fighter that came across to Bellator, and they tried to put her against an 0-0 girl, and the commission stamped it out. So interesting that they let that one happen, and devastating stuff in the final second of the first round there. Carl Moore v Chadwick. I heard a lot of people saying they thought this one was for Chadwick, but it's Carl Moore who comes away with the win in his Bellator debut. Two great fighters there. I saw Lee looking very dejected afterwards, you know. Some great exchanges in that fight, but you know, I've heard some people complaining about the decision. And again, in the Phil Mulpeter and McCabe fight, it seemed everybody was going psycho for. Again, there's been some complaints about everyone, a lot of people. I just tweeted that Phil had won because, you know, when you're at these events, you're going backstage to interview people. You don't really see a full fight. You really don't. You're just constantly on the move. And yeah, a lot of people I put up that Phil had won, and, you know, great to see Phil getting his first one under the Bellator banner. But a lot of people have for Keith McCabe. A lot. Jake Hadley, huge win over Blaine O'Driscoll. And I'd agree with him that, you know, it probably does make him one of the top guys in Europe at flyweight. Him and Sam Creasy, his teammate, probably right there. Wouldn't mind seeing him and Ryan Curtis. Dylan Logan, sweet triangle choke of Adam Gustav. Very nicely done, I had to be said. That's two losses in two now for Gustav in Bellator. Gunsar Oyev against Ian Coughlin. I actually scored this one for Coughlin. I saw this whole fight. I was on my way to the arena watching it. I thought Coughlin's submissions in the second and third round would be enough to get him the nod. But Konstantin Gunsar Oyev got the win in the end. He was very good in top position. But I just thought Coughlin's submission attempts would get him the win. You know, and this is going to happen. Like, I mean, when you have 16 guys on a card from SBG, it's going to happen that people say there's favoritism going on here. I think that's to be expected. It's from the very first announcements of signings, it's been expected. So I don't think you can blame people for, you know, looking into these decisions, putting a microscope under everything. You know, I think it's par for the course when it does seem so geared towards SBG. But yeah. Yeah, that was it was a good night. It was fantastic. I'm looking forward to seeing what happens next. I would like to see Price and Crosby. Like him saying he didn't want to fight, maybe he wanted more. And yeah. I don't know if you saw Richard Coyley's response to all this. I'd say his knee is killing him though. Magic. A lot of people really up in arms about that matchup being made, and you know, it was pretty one sided on the night, and you know, it did feel like Paige was on a completely different level than him, and a lot of people are complaining about that. And yeah. I guess it was everything that people thought it would be, unfortunately for Richard. But he certainly drummed up a lot of interest for it, that's for sure. Cage Warriors 107, Tom Aspinall with a big first round knockout there. You remember his last fight on the Cage Warriors banner, he broke the guy's leg checking a kick. Nasty. Adam Ventre, decision win. Big name out in Liverpool. Donovan Desmond will probably take on Cartwright next. I mean, not Cartwright, Jesus Christ. Donovan Desmond, sorry, is the guy who everybody thought Paddy was going to fight last time, so that could be something that he would be interested in. Like, Tim Barnett's no slouch, that's a big win for him. Adam Proctor, I feel as though he's an uber prospect, and gets another decision win there. Slowly going about his business, quietly even going about his business there. And look, another loss for Pietro Manga after that ill-fated UFC debut that never happened to Luke Shanks. First round knockout. That's very tough to see, man. It's been a devastating run for him. And I will say, you know, it's tough. It was this Cage Warriors card with Copenhagen and the Bellator Dublin card on it. It wasn't really that talked about. You know, that's something that Cage Warriors need to look into, you know, and, you know, make sure they have a day at least away from these events, because that's a card that deserved a lot more attention. And, you know, when you're busy with everything else, your boss is going to tell you what to cover, you know. So, good fights there. Went under the radar, unfortunately. Bellator 228, we spoke about at the start, with those matchups being made, but split decision win from Massassi over Lyoto Machida. Threw some shade at the man who beat him in his last fight and former Eurobash guest, Rafael Lovato Jr. Pitbull keeps his title after a decision over Juan Arguelleta, who we called a poor man's TJ Dillashaw in the lead up to the fight. AJ McKee, who, you know, both Pedro Carvalho and Adam Boric told me that would be there at the end, 8-second KO of George Karagian. My God. Caldwell dominant over Henry Corrales, and Daniel Vichel unfortunately knocks England's Saul Rogers out, Europe v Europe in that situation. AJ Agazarm, the Jiu-Jitsu supernova, improved his record to 2-1 with a decision win over Jonathan Quiros. A lot of people say to me that they want to see this guy fight James. I think that's a lower level fight than the guys he's fighting already, but if they want to do that, why not? Yeah, and also Antonio McGee, yeah, is fighting for the first time since 2014 and wins in the second round. That's against a fighter with a winning record as well, man. Like father, like son. My God. Amazing stuff. Yeah. Well, look, that's all the action that happened last weekend. But I wanted to get a word with Cal Eleanor, because as far as I was concerned, it wasn't good enough the way it was left there. You know, he was forced from this fight with James Gallagher when his brain scan didn't come back. It came back with some abnormalities, but as far as I know, the situation has changed drastically, and I feel like we need to get that out there. It shouldn't be just left on this guy can't fight because his brain has an issue. As far as I know, he can be cleared now, and I really wanted to talk to Cal. He was over at the fights on Saturday, on Friday, and I wanted to speak to him while I was there. I just never got a chance to. So, yeah, I feel like it's very important that we give Cal a platform to tell us what happened there and let everybody know that he can fight again. And, you know, I don't know if the Gallagher fight can happen again. I know that James said he would be more than willing to do it. He felt he owed him it. I don't know how Bellator feel about it, but I know that Cal will definitely want that fight. I could even see people talking about it afterwards. Imagine that was Cal. Yeah, let's have a word with Cal and we'll be back to wrap things up. Thanks very much. Mwah. And now we are joined by the man I have told you that I wanted to speak to. It is Cal Eleanor, who unfortunately had his fight with James Gallagher pulled out from him at the 11th hour, really, and there has been some updates since then, as far as we know, so we wanted to get Cal on to talk about the situation. Cal, you were in Dublin, first of all. You saw the event, right? What did you think?
I thought it was a fantastic event. I really enjoyed it. I thought some of the fights were awesome, you know. The crowd was fantastic. Just to see him, I wasn't on it.
Yeah, I mean, did you see the amount of people tweeting about, oh, it would have been different if Cal was in there? I noticed that afterwards. Is that hard to take?
Yeah, it is, yeah, definitely. But it's good to see at the same time the amount of people like backing his and stuff now, you know, like, yeah. Obviously on Instagram as well, I've seen a lot of people saying it would have been different if I was fighting and stuff like that. So that was cool. But yeah, it was hard. It was hard to be there and watch and see obviously the reception what James got when he come out and for the fight as well. Like I would have loved to have experienced that, you know. But aside from that, it was a great show. Like I will hopefully I can get it back sorted, you know, so I can be the one to fight him next, you know.
Yes. And before we get on to that though, I'd love to talk to you about what happened there. I mean, we heard a week out you put out this fantastically honest video about some abnormalities being found in your scan. And we'll get onto the updated version of that soon. But, I mean, when did you hear about this? How far was it away from the fight?
It was probably about 2 and a bit weeks out from the fight. I got the phone call saying something had flagged up in my brain scan and that I needed to go for an assessment with a neurologist to get a clearance letter for the fight. So I basically got in touch with a guy I know who managed Dan Hardy. I got a lot of connections. So I spoke to him and asked him who he thought I should speak to, and he put us in touch with a guy who said had dealt with a lot of fighters in these cases before and had helped people, like, obviously when they've had this issue and they've ended up fighting. So I was like, right, well, I'll go with that guy. Got trains to London, went there and seen the doctor and stuff like that, and obviously they gave us the assessment and basically retired us on the spot, like, for what they'd said, because I had the original review from the only other scan I did, which was in 2017, and that basically said that I had no abnormalities at all. There was nothing, there was no gap in me frontal lobe or anything like that. Like, this new scan was shown. So they were seeing the progression in 2 years was, like, very rapid. You know, obviously seeing it was signs of, like, brain illness and this, that, and the other, and seeing how bad it was and all that kind of stuff. And he basically just cutting a long story short, he basically just said that, like, it's, like, the start of brain illness, and it's not, like, what will happen, what could happen, it's what will happen. And he just basically just, like,
Jesus.
He was just saying, my brain scans are showing what the same as what somebody was who just basically been in a bad car crash would see, that kind of progression in there from there. That's why I obviously wiped us out a bit. Obviously I've got kids and stuff like that. And then what had happened was when I was fighting Nathan Grayson in February, when I had to do a medical then, they asked us for brain scans the same then, but obviously I had the review from me 2017 one, so I give them that, and they said, oh, it's still in date, that brain scan's fine, that clears you to fight for that. So I was like, all right, cool.
So you didn't have the actual scan, you just had the
notes?
No,
I just had the review from it, yeah, because I could never get the images. I tried, I spoke to AFC, I couldn't get them, and I tried to get them through that way, and then basically, every time I tried to get them off them, they just kept sending us the review and saying, that's all I had, that's all it would get. So I was like, right, whatever. They cleared us anyway when I fought Nathan Grayson, obviously, so I thought nothing of it. So then when this fight came around with James Gallagher and I have that scan, I just obviously I took that review to the neurologist, and he was saying, like, oh, like, maybe he was saying if you get the images from this scan, he was saying it's highly unlikely, but there might be a chance, like, something's wrong on that. He's saying, but it's unlikely. So I was trying for ages to get these scans, images, and I could never get them. My friend Alistair Bishop lives in South Africa. But obviously, while this whole thing's going on, obviously more days are passing by, and I'm still speaking to Bellator, speaking to Safe MMA, and it's obviously they say, oh, it's not looking like your fight's going to go ahead, you know. And obviously, the fight's getting closer and closer, and obviously, I knew James is training just the same way I have, you know. And if it was the other way around, I would have wanted to know. So I was saying, like, I was starting to panic, thinking, oh, well, everyone's going to, if they leave this to the last minute and they pull me, he's not going to have an opponent, and it's going to look like it's my fault, when it wasn't. I just felt like I was kind of didn't really have any other options. So I'm asking around and I'm speaking to Safe MMA, speaking to Bellator and stuff like that, and it's looking like your fight's not happening. And it was I think it was like 10 days to go, so I spoke to Jude and I was like, right, we'll just get someone else and no problem, whatever. That's when the next morning I woke up and obviously they've got Roman Salazar in, or they'd announced me pulling out, and then they got Roman Salazar. My friend Alistair Bishop in South Africa, he lives in Johannesburg where the lab is, and he was basically pestering them all the time, and they were sending them to one place, sending them to another.
He's after your scan, right? He's trying to get the images.
Trying to get the images, and they kept sending them to different people and saying, oh, this one's all until this date, and you can get, you might be able to get them then if we can put you in touch with this one. And eventually spotted a lady who basically got them these images. And when they sent us the images, basically what happened was I sent them off to Safe MMA, and with the same night I got a phone call back saying, off the record, like obviously we can't say it officially because it's not in writing until it's fully reviewed, but what it's looking like is you had this on your brain in 2017, and the doctor has either, basically it's like they've either not seen these signs in your scans, which is obviously highly unlikely because it's like if you're a medical professional, knowing what you're looking at, especially with dealing with fighters as well, these are signs that anyone would in that field would know to look out for. So obviously if there's three black spots and a gap and you haven't accounted for it, it's either you've either obviously had a blindfold on when you've looked at the scans, or you've just deliberately not put it in there so I can be clear to fight.
So this is things you could have been born with, basically. Like, because they're...
Sorry, what you said? Yeah. It could have been from that. It could have been from before that, because that's the only other scan I've had, so I don't know, you know what I mean? And nobody's told us anything. And it basically, I even went to the doctors after, and I've tried it, and I got no sense of them out of them either, so I'm still not really knowing what's going on now, you know what I mean? Like, I know I'm clear to fight, and that's fine, but as far as my own brain goes, I don't even know if this is something I've been born with, or if this is actually from fighting, you know, or concussion. You know, I've knocked myself out on bikes and stuff like that before, you know, so I could be from anything, you know what I mean?
Jesus Christ. So, I mean, so they have cleared you now. After getting this scan, you are technically cleared to fight again?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 100%. So
oh, my God.
What they said was... Yeah, oh, honestly, it's absolutely crazy. So they basically got batters and said that's what they said. So the doctors either lied on the sheets to clear you in 2017, or they've just not noticed the things. But that completely is 100% the other way to what my review from the scan said. Like, it's the complete opposite. So, like, that's why the doctor spoke to me so harshly and gave us that kind of, like, serious, like, kind of, like, retirement told spiel about how, like, I shouldn't. She told us that I shouldn't even ever spar again. That's what he said to me. He said, if I would advise you, he said, I wouldn't even be worrying about this fight. He was saying, I wouldn't even spar again. He's saying, obviously, you're going to be upset now. He's saying, but realistically, you should be happy that you haven't found this a year onwards, right? You know what I mean?
So their concern was the fact that they hadn't got the initial scans. So they thought you had a perfectly normal brain, say, like a bog standard brain.
Yeah.
And these things just hadn't been accounted for in those scans. So they thought it had degenerated to that point in 2 years. And that's where they couldn't hear you.
Yeah, definitely 100%. And obviously, like, it's just been such a shame that obviously, like, I just feel like obviously they left obviously to me, so I'm having to deal with this all by myself, and obviously still trying to get myself right for a fight at the same time. And I'm getting told, like, obviously, oh, you're high risk and that no doctor's ever going to clear you. I even tried to get the guy's signature. I was like offering, I says, look, I'll pay just to get your name on the sheet just so I can fight. And he said it didn't even matter if I got a signature on the sheet because the doctors would see the review and wouldn't clear us anyway. So I like pretty much knew the fight was going to get pulled anyway. So I was like, oh my God, you know what I mean? I've got no options here. So I just felt like my career was done completely, you know what I mean? He's telling us to never even spar again. Like, I was like, what the hell, you know? Like I was in the best shape of my life ever, like that, like, there, you know what I mean? Everything was on point and just completely crushed us. Like, I just felt like I had no purpose, you know what I mean? Just broke me out. I had the worst 2 weeks of my life, like, you know what I mean? From there, and then basically then they rang us and gave us that unofficial talking on the phone and said, like, off the record, it's looking like you could be all right to fight in the future again. And then about 5 days later, they rang us back and said, yeah, like, it's been confirmed. Like, you're fine to go. You can fight. You'll just need to have regular scans to keep an eye on it.
Jesus. Like, I mean, as great as that news is, Carl, like, I mean, how hard is it? I spoke to you off the record a number of occasions over the last couple of weeks, and I could tell how devastated you were. But essentially a doctor's error has cost you the most valuable fight of your life. How does that feel now after 100%. The event has taken place and everything?
At the time, it killed us, you know. It really did break me heart. Like, I truly thought, like, that was my big chance to obviously change my life and become, like, a lot more known in MMA and somewhere, like, the stages I've kind of always wanted to be on and believed I should be on. But at the same time, like, it's a blessing in disguise, you know. Like, obviously, the day of fight day, my mum's in hospital in a coma, you know what I mean? So it's a pretty absolute madness. So, like, I was glad, like, obviously, that week that I didn't have to fly out on the Tuesday, like, a fight week, like I was meant to, because I was back home and obviously having to deal with my mum in hospital. So I kind of took it as a blessing in disguise, although it still broke me out that I wasn't fighting. I just kind of looked at it that way, as if I was like,
not meant to be, you know what I mean?
Is your mother okay? Sorry, I didn't hear about that, Cal. I didn't realise.
No, I haven't told anyone. She's critical in hospital now, mate. She's still in hospital now, in intensive care in Sunderland, so things have been a bit rough. So obviously I went out to Dublin. I just went for the day just to try and basically clear my mind of it, you know what I mean?
Can I ask what happened, or would you rather not talk about that? Or
no, it's fine. Basically, she's got MS, and a few years back she got pneumonia, then she got aspirational pneumonia, and it's just been something that, like, every couple of years came back, and then, like, the last couple of years it's been really bad. It like touch and go, like a couple of years ago, and then she survived then, and then, like, she got it again a couple of months back, and then they've let her out, and they've just basically, she's got it again, but then this time she's her lungs collapsed and stuff like that, and then they basically she's been in there, and then now she's just been unresponsive for like 5 or 6 days now. And she's got a machine doing her breathing for her and stuff like that. So we're just trying to just obviously get by, just trying to deal with everything we can, you know. And I just realised, like, obviously, like, that fight on Friday just wasn't meant to be, and just taking it that way, like, you know what I mean?
I'm so sorry to hear that, Cal. That sounds like you've had quite an ordeal. Absolutely. My heart goes out to you, man. And I'm sure everybody who listens to this will agree with me. But, you know, I really hope that situation can sort itself out. But I was just wondering, you know, did you hear the comments James made about you all week? He didn't belittle your situation at all. He seems very concerned about you. He has said he will fight you again. Are you confident that Bellator will listen to what he has had to say and make that fight again?
Well, firstly, I appreciate you saying that, mate. I really appreciate you saying all that about it. So thank you about my family and that. But, yeah, mate, like, obviously, I heard the stuff James was saying, and I really appreciate, you know, like, obviously, he's fighting the same. And to be honest, like, I had him in mind when I knew 2 weeks out that they were going to pull us, you know, so I was being respectful of him and me being the one who had to pull out, you know what I mean? So, like, obviously, it was the same way. Like, he knew the situation before it was announced. Like, I don't know who told him or how he knew, but he knew. So he took it the way any, like, decent person would have, you know what I mean? Like, all hype it for the fight aside, you know what I mean? He's obviously got his head screwed on, you understand? I appreciate him saying that, you know, and especially him dealing with it the way he did, and then coming out to see fighters again, like, that was cool. Like, obviously, I think he's got a lot of say in what will go on in who he fights as well. So hopefully it is a fight Bellator put back together. You know, obviously they've seen how much attention it can get. And I think the second time round as well, like, everyone even wants it even more now. So hopefully the stars will align and they'll put it together, you know, because I feel like it's the fight, like, we're both trained for and we both deserve.
Cal, I really, really hope they make it happen. I feel so happy that you can fight again, because I know how much that meant to you. But my commiseration for the situation you're in at the moment, and hopefully I can speak to you again and we're in a much better situation and this fight has been rebooked, because I'd really love if they could do that for you, man.
Cheers for that. I really appreciate that, man. Thank you.
All right. Well, look, I'll talk to you again soon, and hopefully we get some good news. And I really hope that Bellator, whether it's James or not, book you as soon as possible, because it's the least you deserve.
Right. Cheers, man. I really appreciate that, Peter, man. Thank you.
You go and enjoy your breakfast now, mate.
Legend. Thanks, all right, later. Talk.
All
see
the
you
best.
Later, buddy.
Bye, bye,
right.
Bye.
Have a good day, mate. Ciao, man. Bye. Bye.
And thank you so much to Cal Eleanor for getting on and joining us and speaking about that. I felt it was very important to get out there and say that in public. You know, just because the last thing most people would have heard of him that aren't diehard fans is, like, you know, he wasn't able to fight that due to a brain issue. So I felt to get that out there, and glad to hear that the door is not closed on his fighting career. It's just a look to what's happening next week now, and really, I think UFC 243 is the event that's going to be stealing all the headlines, that stadium show in Melbourne, Australia, and yours truly is going to be there. This is my second time doing this with the old school legends, Casey Lydon and Esther Lynn. They were absolutely brilliant with me in Abu Dhabi, and I was so nervous about not being good enough with them or not being good enough to do this stuff for MMA fighting. So they made it so much easier, man. They made me feel like I was a legend of the game already coming in. So really, really cool, and I can't wait to get to do it again. I can't wait to see Stylebender fight in person. I've been covering this guy's career for a long, long time, and it's really cool that I'll finally be able to watch him. I guess there's a big criticism of the card because it doesn't feel like, you know, it's going to I don't know if it's going to sell it out, but it doesn't certainly feel like it will. Like, I mean, the card, I think they were hoping to get Volkanovski, Holloway on there, and it just didn't happen. But the main event is unbelievable. Whittaker and Adesanya is absolutely unbelievable. I love the fight. I'm slightly kind of edging towards Whittaker at the moment. But Adesanya, very capable, absolutely unbelievable, and of course unbeaten up to this point. So fantastic stuff there. Ali Iaquinta and Daniel Hooker in the co-main event. Love it. City Kickboxing all over the gaff on this fight card. Toy Tuivasa against Spivak there in the on the main card as well. And then the Jedi, Luke Jermea against Diego Lima. As I said, not an astronomically amazing card, but the Celtic Kid, Jake Matthews, will take on Rostam Akman, the hairiest man in MMA at the moment. That's a good one from a European point of view. You also have Megan Anderson, should I say, taking on Zara Fern de Santos of France from a European point of view. And Khalid Taha against Bruno Silva, opening the whole event. I can see why people are kind of annoyed about it. It doesn't feel like it's the biggest card in the world. And look, it's very geared towards that audience there, very geared towards Australia, New Zealand. And looking forward to see Brad Riddle taking on Jamie Mullarkey too. Brad Riddle is Quake from City Kickboxing. A lot of people are very excited about him as well. It does have a lot of talent in that region, but really for me it's the main and co-main that's really getting me excited. I think Hooker and Iaquinta is going to be a savage of a match. It's going to be absolutely savage. So really looking forward to that. And just being in the stadium, like, especially compared to Abu Dhabi was such a weird one. The place didn't feel like it was finished, you know what I mean? So actually being in a real working stadium this time should be really good. Also, there's the Bellator 229 card on Friday, from Mohegan Sun, is it? No, Temecula, California. So, Khorashev v. Lorenz Larkin, Russia's finest. I think two of the three losses on his record are to Douglas Lima. So, that'll tell you how good that guy is. Anatoly Tokov taking on Horacio Darpanian on the prelims there. Not much else going on from a European perspective. I'm not going to lie to you. Vladimir took off for Brandon Hastings also. So three Russians we got going on there. So not too bad. But look, that's all I've got for you. I'm sorry it was a shorter episode this week, but it wasn't going to happen at all. We knew Noel was away. It was very sad not having my wingman, my partner in crime there with Bellator this weekend. But he'll be back next week, I'm sure. Maybe it will just be Noel next week. Who knows? It depends on how my travel goes. So, thanks very much for listening. I'm very sorry it's a shorter episode than usual. You know I love yous, though. Thanks very much and all the best. Mwah.